We're going to talk today about the subject of faith. I enjoy talking about faith at least a couple times a year, maybe more. Faith is very important in our walk with God and how we proceed in life and, you know, the things that we interact in this world, right? Because we have to learn how to interact, but yet with our interactions, you know, the Bible says, you know, we need to learn how to overcome. And that's the name of my message today is Overcoming Faith. To me, the walk of faith is a walk of power. You know, we walk in power. For too long, I believe we've allowed what I call limiting beliefs to hold us back really from reaching the full potential, you know, where God wants us to be. You know, I believe God wants us to grab a hold of His Word and start moving those mountains in our life. That song was very good for what we're going to be talking about today, being able to move those mountains and deal with them, because we need to learn how to have faith that overcomes. I always remember, this just came to my mind, you know, he was over in Greece doing some mission work, and, you know, the missionary that was with, and, you know, things were kind of going a little bit tough, and he was telling me a story, and a friend of his, you know, finally, you know, called him, and, you know, my friend was telling him just how bad things are kind of going, and his friend finally said, "Hey, the Calvary's not coming. You know, that's just the way it is. You're going to have to overcome this." That's just what happens sometimes. We have to learn how to overcome. And hopefully this message today will help us. We're going to read a couple, three scriptures today. The first one I want to see today is in John chapter 20, verse 24 to 25. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see his hands, the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. Lord, I pray that you stir us up today to have overcoming faith. Lord, help us to be one that overcomes and not one that shrinks back. Lord, help us to persevere and press on. Lord, I thank you for the special anointing to be here today and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I give it to you for your glory. I want to preach for your glory. And Lord, we thank you for stirring us up today again. Just help us to grab a hold of what you want for us to have. We bind the devil from trying to steal it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, first point I want to look at, and we're going to look at three different kinds of faith: outcome faith, income faith, and then overcoming faith. Okay, those three. Outcome faith is, to me, faith that is only based on the outcome that we get. And this is where sometimes we live a lot. We live in this area and it's not the best place to live. Because what that is, it's like Thomas here that would only believe if he would be able to see. But that's not faith. Anybody can believe something when they see it, but God wants us to believe without seeing. But, you know, have you ever noticed that we all have different personalities a little bit? You know, and some people can grab a hold of certain things better than others or easier, and not saying they're better in any way, shape, or form, but whatever the case is, you know, Thomas's personality was, he was kind of a realist. You know, he just called him how he saw him. Technically, Thomas would have been a great umpire. You know what I mean? He would not be pressured or moved by outside circumstances. If it was a strike, he would call it a strike. And if it was a ball, he'd call it a ball. And see, that's where, you know, some people in their personality is that they're such a realist in some ways that they struggle in the area of being able to believe something without seeing it yet. And maybe that's talking to you today, and I want you to know there's hope for that. Because we can overcome that sort of thought processes. Because God can turn it around and be able to help us to get to the place that He wants us to be. You know, next there's like I call this kind of circumstantial faith, you know. You cannot be convicted on circumstantial evidence, correct? In a court of law, hypothetical, that's what they say on TV. But, you know, circumstantial faith is goes along the same way, that it's only based on the outcome you get. So let's say you're believing God, you know, for something to happen in your life. And so you don't get that, but you get this. Well, then then you get kind of, after a while, of maybe not reaching your potential, because it is a fight of faith, people. I mean, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but we're not going to win every battle, but we will win the war. Right. So there's going to be some battles that you and I may just not come out on top on. Maybe I'm being a little bit Thomas here. I apologize, but I don't want to wreck your faith. But I do know this. There's times when I did not get the answer I wanted, but I had to guard my heart against discouragement. Because it's so easy to get discouraged. And then you start to live with circumstantial faith in the sense where you think because it only turned out this way, well, this is all we get or this is all we ever deserve. That's not true. Because we serve a big God, and God is a lot bigger, you know, than our prayers and things like this. It limits God. You remember Jesus, it says in the New Testament, when he went to his hometown, it said he could not do very many miracles there. He had the same potential, the same power in one town as he did the other. But in his hometown, he couldn't do very much. You know why? Because they only saw him as a carpenter's son. You know, and sometimes, you know, when we see things like that, you know, we maybe look at our old life. We look at what we used to be. I'm just this or I'm just that. But we got to see that the potential in us, much of it has not been unearthed. You know, I think about, you know, I think of this picture every now and then. Maybe I'm just weird. But, you know, have you ever imagined what it'd be like for an eagle if he was raised by a bunch of chickens? You know what I mean? Maybe the egg, you know, went in the wrong spot and the chicken laid on it and hatched it. You know, and here's this eagle. He comes out and he's going to grow. I mean, I know that. But wouldn't this eagle look silly walking around all the time? Just like a bunch of chickens pecking on stuff. You know, and you'd look at him, you'd say, man, you know, there's more for you. But, you know, that's just all he knows. That's just the way he was raised. That's just everything that's been exposed to him. You know, to be an eagle, you have to eat what eagle eats and do what eagles do. But he's never had that example in his life. That's why we need to hang around people that have faith so we can start to learn from them and hang around people of like precious faith. If you hang around a bunch of doubters and unbelievers and deceivers, that's just what you're going to get manifested in your life. More, it's easy to follow what you see. So that's why we need to, you know, be in the other camp, you know. See, when an eagle is soaring, they are looking for potential targets. I mean, I'm sure they soar for fun a little bit. But for the most part, they're up there looking for something to eat. They're wanting to take care of business when they're up there. They're just kind of cruising along, and it's great, you know, especially young people now. You get to see eagles. When I was a kid, it was a rare occurrence if we ever saw an eagle, you know, up personal. Now we see them everywhere around here. But, you know, you can tell an eagle from a buzzard. You know, you should. You know, you learn that. They do look a little different up there when they're in the sky. But, you know, we can see a lot more when we learn how to soar. And that's what we need to learn how to do. We need to get the eagle's perspective in life and not be a doubting Thomas. So we need to get above our circumstances and be able to see how God sees this. I mean, there's nothing that surprises God. You know, everything that you and I will ever go through, God has seen before. You know, God has seen it way even, you know, thousands of years ago, he could see it. He could see into that future. And what bothers me a little bit, I mean, I don't get obsessed with it, but, you know, to me, it's hard to watch someone living with less when you know they could be having more. I hate to see potential wasted in somebody. Because I know what God can do. See, I know what God can do in me. If he could take me and do a little bit with me, I know he could do something with anybody. Because God could turn our ways around and help us to overcome this world. Because this world is a lie. You know, we try to squeeze everything out of this world. But this world, the Bible says, is going to pass away. And God's going to remain forever. I'm not saying we, you know, got to be one of those wacko Christians that, you know, excuse me, that's out of touch. But, you know, we do not have to live like a chicken. You know, chickens eat, you know, they will eat a worm, I read. You know what I mean? I need to take a little drink of water. But chickens will eat a worm. You know, I don't know, I read stuff every now and then. Always thought they just eat grain, but yeah, chicken will eat a worm if they get one. One worm's dumb enough to get out in front of them, I guess. But primarily, you don't see too many eagles eating worms. They want meat, real meat. Get hungry for meat, people. Want the meat, because that's what you need to grow strong. Look for meat in your life. Next, I want to look at income faith, and we're going to look at Romans 10:17. Very familiar scripture, it should be. You should highlight it. If you don't highlight in your Bible, get a nice little highlighter that's not too thick, so it bleeds through. I'm kind of fussy about that. I don't know why I'm talking about all my problems right now. Maybe I got something going on. I don't like it when my pages bleed through and I highlight two at once, you know, one on each side. I like to get a highlighter. I went to those gel pens lately. They really work good. But Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So that's how we have our faith, income faith. That's how we get faith in our life. You know, we need to grow our faith. You know, it's something that we do, and you're doing it right now. You're hearing the word of faith preached, and hopefully you're growing by that faith. You read the Bible hopefully every day. I think it's good sometimes just to read the Bible out loud. You know, you can, you know, faith comes by hearing. You know, so if you can hear yourself read it, I mean, that's good. So there's different ways that you can do to increase your faith. And we have a lot of things that we can tap into because, you know, we all start with a measure of faith. The Bible says that in Romans 12, okay? We each have a measure of faith. And to me, there's enough faith with that measure that you can come to Christ, okay? You can come to Christ. Now, you can stop there if you want. But you're not going to live to your potential. I mean, yes, you know, a lot of people sell fire insurance. I mean, Jason and Christian probably sell that, I'm guessing, fire insurance. You know, hopefully we never have fire. But, you know, there's more to the Christian walk than not having to go to hell. Now, not going to hell is great. Don't get me wrong. But see, it's great to come to Christ and then start to grow because God has called us to rule and to reign with Him. Now, if you just get saved and just kind of stop right there, yes, you get to go to heaven. But why stop there? Why just do the bare minimum? You know, we need to start maxing out in our relationship with God. We need to start to grow and get to where He wants us to be because what's going to happen as you grow, you're going to start to see things different. You know, remember it, when you were a little kid, have you ever went back to one of your childhood places? And when you're a kid, you thought that thing was so big. And then when you go back as an adult, it's so little. Why? It hasn't changed. What's changed? You've grown. You've grown. So things that were so big to you when you start out the walk of faith become really small as you grow in faith. You know what I'm saying? And you don't have to really stress about some of those things because you know that you've already won this once. You know that you're winning it again. So we start with that measure. So income faith is based on the Word. Putting the Word of God. Making that deposit in your life. Because that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. And when we do that, we start to grow. Another very valuable way of starting to grow in faith is talking about meditation on the Word. Now, meditation, I'm not talking about Eastern religion, you know, where you get some sort of mantra and you start chanting that mantra and stuff like that. No, this is meditation on the Word of God. Now, that word meditate is kind of talking about, now, I don't want to gross you out because you haven't eaten yet, but, you know, have you ever seen an old cow chew the cud? I have. I raised on a farm. I mean, that just kind of is weird how that works, but cows have several stomachs. And I don't know if they're just a fast eater, but they eat and they put it down in their belly. Then when they got some free time, I guess, they'll lay down. I see them, old cow laying down. I can just picture them old jaws going sideways. This is weird. But anyway, that old cow will burp that food up. I know it's gross. And then they'll start to chew it again. And when they're chewing that, they're not doing it because they can't, you know, it's not ground up already, but they're grinding it to get every little nutrient released out of that grass. And the nutrients are released in its body. That's just how God made them. But it's a beautiful picture for us to be able to see how we need to treat the Word of God when we meditate on it. So what you do, you don't pick a whole chapter or a whole, you know, paragraph maybe. You just pick maybe a scripture or two. And you start to meditate on that. You kind of think that over. You start to ponder it. You try to put yourself in that position. You try to think what was historically back then or how that can work for today. And you start to meditate on that, and it unlocks the treasure. Because there's treasure hidden in the scripture that we can't really see. And we have to unlock it. And that comes by one of the great ways is the law of meditation, shall we say. Learning how to meditate on the Word of God. It just takes a little bit of time. You don't have to spend weeks on it. You just sit there and you kind of meditate on that. And as you do that, you know, another thing, has anybody here been able to worry very good? Is anybody an expert in worrying? A few of you, right? Me too. You can worry stuff. Have you ever noticed what happens when you worry about something? That problem usually gets a little bit bigger, doesn't it? You know, you make that problem bigger because you're making it manifest. It becomes, as you continually to worry that, it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer in your mind because that's all you're thinking about. Well, to me, meditation is when we learn how to worry the Word, okay? That's what it's about. We kind of keep the Word of God in there and we keep making it bigger and bigger and greater in our life. And as we do that, then something's going to happen inside of us, and it's going to cause us to become stronger in the faith. Because when we're worrying and we're good at worrying, our problems, they get bigger. Start worrying the Word of God, and our faith gets greater. Because believe me, greater faith is to your benefit. Because you can do more things in the kingdom of God. You know, like I said earlier, the Calvary isn't coming all the time. There's sometimes in our life we're just going to have to stand our ground, and I'm going to go into that in a little bit. See, we need to see opposition as opportunity. Most people, when they see a problem, they don't like problems. As a matter of fact, in my years of pastoral care, there's some people, when they see a problem, they want to run from it. They do not want to deal with it head on. And that's unfortunate, because guess what? Satan recognizes that pattern in your life. And you know what he's going to do? You might have a blessing just right around the corner. And he's going to bring opposition into your life. He's going to bring a person or a problem into your life that makes you want to run from this situation. And we've watched this countless times, you know, in ministry. Watching how sometimes they don't want to do it. Now, I'm not saying you need to get in there and start throwing fists or nothing like that, you know, but we need to confront our problems. We need to learn how to deal with those problems. And, you know, as you'll find out, as you unravel that mess, sometimes it's wrong thinking on our part, and we need to repent of that. That's just part of the deal. You know, we can't put all the blame on everybody all the time, right? Sometimes we're at fault. We need to repent, get up, and go on. Amen? That's as simple as that. And then we start to walk in that kind of the victory. So we need to see opposition as opportunity. You know, we need to change our perception, and then we can change our direction. You know, just like that eagle. He can see everything, and he can look and just get a big view out there when he's looking at things. And it just changes our perception in life. And then we see that, you know, we can change our direction. You know, maybe you're going to see more potential over here than there is over here. You know, but it comes by just putting yourself in that position of knowing you, I want you to hear this right now. You do not have to settle for less in your life. You don't have to settle for bad finances in your life. You don't have to settle for a bad marriage. You don't have to settle for all these things. You know, our God is greater than that. And we use the principles of faith to be able to turn our situation around. And God can make a difference in our life. And that's why he's called us out of that darkness into his marvelous life. You know, I know the world time and time again, you know, tells me you're going down. You know, I've bitten off some, you know, bigger faith things than probably my faith level was at. You know, I've done that a time or two. And, you know, it's painful sometimes when you bite off more than you can chew. But I'll tell you what, you just hang in there. You just hold on to God. And you just keep on going after God. And, you know, it'll work out. I don't know how. It works out. And I'm still here today. I haven't thrown in the towel yet, because what I've found in my life, and I don't like this part of it, and I don't think anybody probably would, but problems help unearth our potential. When we are forced to dig deep, we grow strong. It's a bummer, but that's what happens. When a problem comes your way, and you're not willing to run from it, and you start to just say, God, you got this. I want to work through this situation. I want to learn through this. I want to grow through it. You know what I mean? So you do that, and then you start to dig deep, and you start to, find that potential that's inside of you. And believe me, the Bible says this, and I believe it, the greater one lives inside of us. But see, we don't really need the greater one until we need something great done in our life, And it's unfortunate it works that way many times. But when we get out there and we really need God, that's when we really see God show up. And so I encourage you to, be able to want to walk the walk of faith and unearth that potential inside of you, because God has put you on this planet for a special reason. Next scripture I want to look at is the one that kind of springboards this message, is 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. And, John was talking to the church, which we happen to be one, amen. He says, 1 John 5, 4, for whatever is born of God gets defeated by the world. Oh no, I misread that. Oof. I don't have my glasses, you know what I'm saying? It says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Okay. So that's what God wants us to see. This is a promise to the church. If you're a Christian, you're a part of the church. So this is where we get the idea of overcoming faith. I know sometimes, just to clarify, we have faith to get through. Have you ever had faith that just gets through? I mean, we have. But there's another level. There's another level for us. And that's faith that overcomes the world. That means we have defeated the world. We have overcome the problems of the world and how we can start to walk in victory. First it says a disclaimer here, meaning you must believe in God and are born of God. Okay, that talks about being born again. Doesn't mean that, we're into church, just become a member of a church. You started it, I'm going to go to that one, I'm going to sign a little piece of paper, and I'm going to be a member of that church, and now I'm covered. No, that's not how it works. The Bible says we must be born again. Now, I read something the other day, and I believe it's true, because this is how it worked for me. Every time it talks about Jesus being our Savior, it talks about Him being our Lord also, okay? We need to make Jesus the Lord of our life, the master of our life. He needs to reign and rule supremely in our life. We need to get to that place. And I believe that helps us to be able to overcome. So one thing that we have to also recognize, because I think what happens is we have, I guess for lack of a better term, mixed messages in our brain. Have you ever had mixed messages? And our thinking isn't totally pure. It's kind of like, when you have a piece of metal, the reason why they, do certain things to it is to boil out the impurities. Because them impurities, when pressure's applied, that piece of metal is weak and it breaks, okay? But sometimes I think that we as Christians, because of the influence of the world system, causes us to think wrong. And we hold on to some of them wrong thinking, and it taints the way that we really perceive things. So what I believe is we have to settle, that where we had to come from somewhere. Now I want you to really think about that for a minute. Now most of us probably hear, I believe in God. But I believe deep down inside we struggle with some of that. Because we live in a world that's trying to tell us that's not true. That tries to tell us other things. They try to teach evolution and all these different things, or maybe now the big thing, you know, UFO action on the internet. You know, they're talking about, you know, seeing UFOs and all that explains, and I'm not going to go into that today. But to me, origin is important. Origin is important. It's where you, how you see this. If you believe you come from a monkey, faith will not work for you. You do not come from a monkey. There is no way. I tell you what, to me, it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does to believe in a creator God. I think about things sometimes. There is no way that I can see how all this got here without some help. You know what I mean? How could we evolve from things, you know, based on the idea of everything just coming together at the right time? And I mean, there has to be a beginning somewhere. Now, I will say this, and I'll never have this figured out. I do not know where God came from. I will limit my stop right there. I have no clue where God came from, but I do know I came from God. Amen. And that's good enough for me. So I don't want to, because I remember going through school and having all those lies, you know, kind of, I know the public school system's probably hitting the thumbs down arrow right now. But I mean, you know, all those lies that are coming out about evolution and all these things, and they're preaching it as truth. It is not true. It is not true. You know, and it takes more faith to believe in evolution, how all that came around, you know. And we have an intelligent creator. And the one that I know is Jesus, amen. And he is alive today. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And he sent God the Holy Spirit to live down here right now. And he's inside each and every one of his children. And we must be born again. That's the simple works. And to do that, so what happens is that if we believe before we see, that's what we have to get to. Believing before we see, based on the Word of God. Okay? It has to be based on something. God's Word is alive. It's alive. It's living and active. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, sharper than any two-edged sword. Cuts going in and cuts going out. So we believe in the Word of God. And see, when you and I choose faith, we are choosing a course of action that will overcome our circumstances. That's what we have to do. By faith, when we start to develop our faith, remember you say, well, I don't have any faith. That's not true. I can prove in the Bible that we each have a measure of faith. You have a measure of faith, so don't go there with me, because I know God gave you some faith. So now it's up to us to grow in that faith. You know, and start to water it and fertilize it and keep throwing seed in there so it grows, and so we can get to where we need. Because what happens, where we need to get, and this is where we need to be heading, is that faith places spiritual realities ahead of natural realities. And that's what Jesus, when he walked, if you study the four Gospels and you watch his life and how he did things, he went up to a fig tree, never had any fruit. He knew it wasn't time for fruit, but he wanted to teach us something. He wanted to reveal something to us. And there was no fruit. He cursed that tree. Tree looked fine for 5 minutes. Next day they went back and it was dead. The natural reality said nothing happened immediately. But the spiritual reality said it was going to the root of the problem. And it killed that tree. So sometimes we need to apply patience and to be able to walk, you know, in the area of faith, because we need to get to the area of functional faith. You know, some people are, have you ever ran into a spooky Christian? You might think I'm one. I don't know. Maybe you do today. I know sometimes I get into an area and I, you know, it's kind of dicey over there, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know, functional faith. I mean, some people get kind of spooky and da-da-da, we're not going for that. We want everyday faith. We want faith that works every day. That's what we're going for. We just don't need Sunday faith and Wednesday faith or whenever we go to church faith. You know, we need faith that's going to work out there and not just in here. I mean, that should be our goal. It shouldn't just be Easter faith or Christmas faith. You know what I'm saying? You know, we have faith to come on Easter or Christmas, you know, and that's good. At least, coming twice a year, but you know, you need to come and hang around people of like faith, and so you can grow. You know, a lot of times, you know, we pull out the special dishes. I don't know, we haven't done that for a while, have we? Yeah, we did the other day, didn't we? You have your pulled out. I remember when I was a little kid, Grandma, you know, Easter and Christmas and stuff, she had these special dishes put away, and Lord have mercy, you did not dare break one of those dishes. You know what I'm saying? They only come out for special occasions. And see, that's the kind of faith sometimes we think we need. Is this, just special occasions, I'll use my faith. No, we need, I would not mess around with that fancy dishes, you know. I mean, I want something you can use. I mean, that's just, you can see what I drive and where I live. I mean, I just like functional. I mean, that's just all I'm after. My wife's trying to stir me up a little bit more, you know, get me to change my potential in different areas, but we'll see what happens. She's got a lot of faith too, so we'll see what happens. But, you know, we need it. So, I don't know if I preached myself in a hole here or not. I'm good. I'm good. Still good. Okay. So what we need is everyday faith. Now, in saying that, the Lord is looking for believers and not make-believers. Okay? There's a lot of make-believers, you know? And make-believers, you know, put on the show, but there's no go. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to have real faith. The kind of faith that will change our circumstances. You know, faith to me, I know I'm using some baseball terms today, but faith is not covering our bases, but it's rounding the bases and heading home. You know, we need to score. You know what I'm saying? We need to, you know, not just settle for a single. You know, every time I go out, I swing for the fence. I may not hit it every time, but I'll tell you what, I'm going for it. That's what I want. That's what I desire in life. Because faith will also choose character over conformity. We need to stop trying to be like the world. And Christians are under constant attack in our minds about the world trying to make us conform and to compromise our beliefs and to try to change for the world so that we fit in. We were never called to fit in. We were called to lead. God has called us to lead, and we need to be people that have the voice that wants to change the situation and circumstances. You know, what we allow God to do in us determines how much God can do through us. So I encourage you, I know I preach a lot about lordship. I preach a lot about, getting sold out. The reason why I do that, because there's such a reward, people. That's where the reward is. That's where the treasure is. You know, when we get to that place where we want to step out from the crowd, you know, we want to get in there where God is. I want to tell a story in the Bible. It's found in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 11 to 12. I won't have it up on the screen, but you can look it up. It says, "Now after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, a Harite, and the Philistines were gathered into a troop where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot, defended it, and struck the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a great victory." Here we see a practical situation that was happening in that day. Israel had always been at war with the Philistines. Philistines are a sign of the world. They're the world system. They're a godless group of people. I guess they had a god, but it was a false god. And they were trying to take the land that had been promised to the Jews. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer that whatever the Bible says the Jews get, that's what they ought to get. That's just where I see it. I mean, I know that ain't popular in all the world, but I believe that the piece of ground that God said is for his people ought to have it, okay? Well, the Philistines, they wanted it. So what happened, Shammah, he was one of David's mighty men, if you read the whole story, and he was out there fighting, and there was a bunch of them fighting with him, but all of a sudden they looked up and there's a troop, meaning must have been a bunch of Philistines. More than one, a troop. And this troop was approaching. And it was just a bean field. It was just bean. I mean, I'll be honest, I don't even care for lentils. Do you guys ever eat lentils? I mean, I tried them because I heard they was healthy for me, but I don't know. I'd rather die than eat. I'm not saying, but I mean, not bad. They just did nothing for me. I mean, I like other beans, but that's not one of them. I guess it's a fruit, too. I don't know. I didn't really cipher this all out, but this enemy had grouped against them, and they wanted to take that little piece of bean field, okay? So what happened is that all of Shammah's people that were with him said, this bean field ain't worth it. They ran. They headed for cover. They can have the bean field. I don't want it. Well, Shammah did something that you and I need to do. Shammah chose to stand his ground and have faith in God. He was outnumbered. You know, like I said, to some, it was just a bunch of beans, but here's what it was. To Shammah, it was the harvest for future generations, okay? That piece of ground was theirs, and it was for his children and his children's children. He was not going to concede that to the devil. He was not going to give that over to the enemy. See, this is a picture of where our society is today. You know, we're living in a circumstance and situations where the world system is trying to take our harvest, trying to steal our harvest in our life, trying to wreck it for future generations. And the church, many of them are running to the hills. They're not wanting to stand. They don't want to use their faith. They don't want to trust the big God. But we need to be like Shammah. We need to stand our ground and take what's ours. I don't want somebody else's stuff. I want what's mine. I want what God says I can have. And it's my job to get it. To stand my ground. To be able to fight the good fight of faith and not give in just because it's an unpopular message. You know, to me, I just want to ask us today, as you think about your life and the world that you live in, you know, what field are you willing to defend today? Where do you need to make your stand? Let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the stirring of your Spirit today. We know that you've called us to be an army. We're the army of God. And Lord, we know that we do not want to concede to the enemy. We know that there's battles out there, and sometimes it may not feel like we win every one, but Lord, I know that we win the war. Lord, I pray that you stir each and every one of us up right now in the name of Jesus to want to see our faith grow so that we can be able to be a better warrior for you, to be able to stand with that shield of faith, to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit, to be able to take back ground that the enemy has taken. Lord, I pray for a special stirring in our hearts today that we're hungry for you. That, Lord, we want what's ours. No matter what that is.